And so I say all that to say that tonight we're going through Acts 2. We're going through the end of Acts 2. And we're going to read six verses. We're just going to read six verses, and I'm going to send you home. I'm going to send you home with just some truth of those verses. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts 2, 42 through 47. We want to hear less of Philip. We want to hear less of Philip, and we want to hear more of God's word. And if that's not why we're coming, we need to, from the jump, evaluate why we are gathering as believers, or why we are gathering in this room. So you follow along with me. Tonight, just to kind of set the scene, we're in Acts 2, 42, I've already said that. Right before this, what happened? We talked about it before the storm. If anybody can tell me what's happened right before this. Anybody? Okay. Peter has just stood up and given his sermon after Pentecost. Peter's given his sermon, and there's now this awesome response to his sermon. And right there in verse 41, if you look, it says, "So those who accepted his message were baptized that day, about 3,000 people added to them." And so we're at this point now, at the scripture that we're talking about tonight, we're at this point now where there's 3,000 people that have just came to Christ. When Christ ascends back into heaven, there's roughly set between 70 and 100 of his disciples, people that have been following him, and now there's 3,000. So this small group kind of turns into a big group, and this is where this is the passage that we coin is the early church, or this is where the early church starts, and this is the early church. But tonight, I want us to look specifically at something. I want us to look not at what a church is doing. I want us to look at what the individuals in the church are doing and how that individual growth by the individuals in this church leads to ultimately the growth of the church. And so, like I said, Acts 2, 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being formed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I want to pray over you real quick, and we're going to get started. So y'all bow your heads. Lord, I pray for each and every student in here that you'd speak to them and that you would just move me out of the way, and that would it just be about your word. So I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that your spirit would bring conviction. I pray that your spirit would bring encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would lead us every day to following you, Lord, into experiencing you in a new way. So, Lord, we love you, and we come here, Lord, we come to gather, Lord, to worship you. So I pray that you'd be honored right now. In your name I pray. Amen. So Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'll give you four little characteristics about this early church, about the early church, that I think is going to help apply to our specific individual growth. And it's right there in Acts 2, verse 42. Verse 42 says, look, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Right there's your four characteristics. These people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This simply means these people devoted themselves to the word of God. What are the apostles teaching? They're teaching the Old Testament and the law and the prophets and all the things that we don't like to read sometimes. This is what these people are devoting themselves to is the word of God. And so right there off the jump, we as people, we as Christians, because these are Christians, we as Christians in this room, if you claim the name of Christ, you are a follower of him. Do we have a devotion to God's word? And I'm not just asking, hey, do we open up our Bible every now and then? I'm saying, do we have a devotion? Do we wake up and yearn to open our Bible, or is it our phone? When's the last time that you opened your Bible and read for more than 15 minutes? When's the last time you opened your Bible and read in general? If we're going to come in this room and we're going to claim the name of Christ, these are characteristics. These are things that should characterize our life. These are things that should define us. Second characteristic right there in verse 42. To the breaking of bread. Actually, no, it's to the fellowship. They're devoted to the fellowship. That word right there in the Greek, I know we don't do a lot of Greek in here, but that word in the Greek really helps you kind of understand. It carries the idea of, like, participation. When you and I, we think of fellowship, we think of, hey, let's go to the fellowship hall and have a meal after fellowship, after church, after fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. To them, it wasn't this. To them, fellowship was their everything. They encountered Christ, and because they were drawn to Christ, he drew them to other believers. Because they had Christ in common, they were drawn to other believers. So my question for us tonight is this. It's very simple. You and I, as believers, this is something that I've had to work through. Do we have a desire to be with other believers? Do we have a desire to come in this room and not like I said, not hear a funny story, not hear a good illustration? Do we have a desire to hear from the Word, be devoted to the Word, but also are we devoted to fellowship with other believers? And then right there, that third characteristic, to the breaking of bread. To the breaking of bread. When I thought of this first, when I was studying this and I thought of it, I was thinking, oh, like that's just them eating. To the breaking of bread, that's actually a reference back to Luke 24 where Jesus says, hey, every time you break bread, every time you do this in remembrance of me. The breaking of bread simply is saying, every time you're gathered around and you take a meal, every time you do this, you should do this in remembrance of me. You should remember my sacrifice on the cross for you, that my body was beat and that my blood was spilled, and that's why you should break bread. That's why they were believers that were devoted to the breaking of bread. And then that last thing, you know, the last thing, I don't even have to explain it that much, but it's at the end of verse 42, they were devoted to prayer. Simply put, are you and I devoted to prayer? Not only, like this is my point, when they encountered Christ, it drew them to him, to his word, but also to other believers, but it drew them to prayer. When you and I encountered Christ, everybody in here that considers themselves a believer, that follows Christ, do you spend a good deal of prayer, not only speaking to God and talking to him and making your petitions to him, not just, hey, I want a nice car, I want this, but you know, like major things like Timothy tells us and Paul and Timothy tell us to be praying for our rulers, not only for the president you like, but for the president you also don't like. Are we praying for our people? Are we people of prayer? Not only are we devoted to talking to God, are we devoted to listening to God? That's another aspect of prayer, meditating on his word and listening to him. There's a funny quote that's often talked about with prayer and hearing God, and it says, look, hey, if you want to hear God speak, open his word. That's where he's spoken. If you want to hear God speak, open his word. And so a couple of these characteristics right there that we see in verse 42, it ultimately leads to what? Right there in verse 43, everybody look at me. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. If you're taking notes, if you're not taking notes, whatever, my first point kind of for you tonight is, look, when you and I become fully consumed with our personal devotion to Jesus, when you and I become fully devoted followers of Christ, we live in a state of awe, and Jesus begins to use us. Right there at the end of verse 43, right there, it says, look, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. There was this work that was being done in the people, and God was using them. He does a work in you and me, and then he does a work through us. I think a lot of the times, there's a big lie that we believe, where we think that we have to reach some status to be used by God. You and I think that, hey, I have to be at this certain, I have to grow this certain amount, I have to know this certain amount to be used by God. And right here, I would argue that it's very different. As God does a work in them, and they're filled with awe, and they're consumed by this, they're consumed with God. There is a awe about them. There is a wonder about them that the people are like, what in the world? As God does a work in you, he's doing a work through you, and he wants to use you. As we grow in our devotion to Christ, we go. As we grow, we go. And get this, as you and I grow individually, as you and I grow individually, we also grow corporately. Verse 44. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. As these believers grew, as they came to Christ, they also grew together. And they held all things in common. Point number two, if you're taking notes. When you and I become fully consumed with our personal devotion to Jesus, we grow together. Right now in this room, is this statement true about us? Verse 44. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. Is there a unity about this room and this body? Because you and I are the church right here. Is there a unity about us that we hold all things in common? The only way we can do that is when we have Jesus as our top priority. And until we have Jesus as our top priority, this room will have divisions. This room will not grow together. This room is not going to hold things in common. Not only is Luke saying, hey, look, like these 42 and 43, like, you know, they're devoted to the teaching, they're devoted to fellowship, they're devoted to breaking bread, they're devoted to prayer. Luke's not only saying, hey, this is how you grow personally. Look, devote to these things, devote to prayer, devote to fellowship with other believers, devote to the Word of God. But he's also giving us this beautiful picture of when we grow individually, God draws us together as a group. So my question for you, and honestly, I want you to reflect on your life and think about this. A, are you growing individually? And B, as some of you are growing individually, is God trying to draw you closer together with other believers in this room? Are you holding all things in common? A few examples of what it looks like when we grow together and we hold things in common, as verse 44 says, are right there, verse 45, 46, and 47. Read those with me. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had a need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their number who was being saved. As these people were growing in their relationship with Christ, God himself, Christ, was drawing people to them. Please hear me. And if you're not listening, please listen to me now. Jesus says in John 13 that the world's going to know that we're his by how we love. If we cannot love in this room, if we cannot be together in this room, cultivating this holding all things in common, cultivating this unity amongst each other, the world is not going to know we're failing at our mission. That's the plainest way I can put it, is that when you and I aren't growing, A, we're hurting others around us. Not only ourselves, we're hurting others around us. I had to learn that the really hard way earlier in my life, that my sin not only affects me, but it affects those closest to me. So for those of you in sin, your sin not only affects you and your life, but it affects those around you that love you and pray for you. But are we growing individually? But also, as we're growing individually, are you and I rushing toward this of what it says in 44, where he says, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. Verse 45, 46, and 47. Luke says a couple of things, and you know what I could do? You know what I'm actually pretty good at? The Lord has gifted me with the ability to take something and teach it and kind of make it feel this way. I could take verse 45, 46, and 47, and I could make you feel like you're not doing enough. I can make you feel like you're not doing enough as a Christian, that you're not doing your job, but I don't think that's what Luke wants us to understand. We can look at verse 45, 46, and 47 and go, man, we need to be more generous. We need to sell our property. You know, we need to distribute to other people. We need to devote ourselves to meeting together. You know, we need to break bread. The earlier verse says, not only does it talk about earlier that they were meeting in the temple, but now they're meeting in houses. So not only do they have this big group, they also have this small group. We need to be better about meeting together, not only here as a big group, but also outside of these walls. I could tell you thing after thing after thing, but I don't think that's what Luke is wanting us. Point number three, if you're taking notes, this is what I think Luke is wanting us to understand. And this is where, if you've not been listening, right now is what I want everybody in this room to begin to listen to, because this is for you. When you and I experience Jesus for real, we can't help but reflect him in how we live. When you and I experience Jesus for real, we cannot help but reflect him in how we live. I think me and you, we're really good at this. Hey, I just heard a good sermon. You know, Justin preached a good sermon Sunday. I just heard a good sermon. Let me go make my three-step plan to be better. Hey, let me go make my three-step plan to growth, how I'm going to grow. I don't think that's what Luke is wanting us to do right here. I think Luke is wanting us to see, hey, when you come to Christ and you encounter the God of creation, he changes you. Your life is going to reflect a certain thing. And if your life doesn't reflect a certain thing, I'm not going to be the one to tell you you're not saved. But I think you really need to pay attention to how Scripture demonstrates a walk with Christ. I think you really need to reevaluate. If you look back up at verse 37 and 38, go in your Bible, look up at verse 37 and 38. This is right after Peter's sermon. Peter goes, you know, right after Peter, you know, he preaches and all this stuff happens. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? You know what Peter says? Verse 38, he says, Peter said, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Guys, when we experience Jesus, and this is what some of you are longing for in this room, you don't know you are. You know, you came into the room and you're sighing and maybe you're asleep, maybe you're whatever. When you and I really experience Jesus and he really changes us and we meet him, we reflect that in how we live. Some of you in here are desperately longing for hope, joy, contentment. I mean, we all know the statistics. I'm a part of your generation. Y'all are Gen Z, I'm Gen Z. Our generation is longing for something that endures, is longing for something that lasts. According to the statistics, about half of you are depressed and lonely. That's half of this room. And so what I'm telling you is, when you experience Jesus, there's nothing else you want. You're fully content, you're fully consumed, but you also reflect him in how you live. And that's where we get to verse 45, 46, and 47. They sold their possessions and property. Jesus had given them his life. They said, you know what? We're going to give everything back to him. We're going to give everything back to his people. Are we people that do that? I'm just being completely honest. Are we people that are so concerned with how we can give to others and how we can love others and maintain a unity with each other? Or are we too consumed with ourselves and our agenda and our sport and our great? Like, I'm just going to be honest. Are we too consumed with the idols of this life? Are we fully consumed? Are we fully devoted to following Christ? Right there in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'm going to take this one and break it down. They devoted themselves to the word of God. Are we devoted? Let's play a game. Everybody in this room, if you are a Christian, raise your hand. Okay, so like everybody. Okay, that's sweet. Even some of you that have been asleep. That's cool. If you're a Christian, let's compare our Christianhood to their Christianhood. They came to Christ, and you know what happened? They devoted themselves to the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship with each other. They devoted themselves to remembering and worshiping him. They devoted themselves to prayer. They were filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. They sold their possessions. They sold their property. Why does it make sense that the early church, they experienced Christ, and their lives look completely different? Why does it make sense that that was how it is for them? But then 2,000 years later, when we experience Christ, our life looks nothing different. Why is that? I think my answer to that, and what I would believe, and I think the most humble and gracious way that I could put it, me and you were unfazed by the gospel. The gospel, we live in the Bible Belt, we hear over and over, hey, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus this, this. That we're so used to it, it's like callous to our heart. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm working on this with y'all. Adults are working on this with y'all. Y'all aren't just students, and we're not just talking down to you. I hope that you continue this journey of growth and developing a love for him and his word and his people for the rest of your life, because you're never going to get there on this side of eternity. But I think our world would look a little bit different if we actually encountered Christ the way that they did through repentance. There's a quote, and there's a pretty funny quote that just came to my mind. It's been on my mind for a while, but it's funny. This dude talks about, hey, if Aunt Susie went outside and got ran over by a bus, I'm sorry if that like is traumatic or brings back any bad memories or anything, but if that happened, she would look a little bit different. Can we get an amen? Like, she would, right? Like, it would probably, you'd be able to notice. Okay, hear me out. When you and I encounter and experience the Son of God, the man that created the universe, why do our lives not look different? Back up to verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. This is where we're going to close. This is where I know y'all are excited for this part. This is where we're going to land the plane. Guys, this isn't about doing better. This isn't about trying to do more or trying to be more or, hey, I need to read my Bible more. I need to do this, that, or the other. This is about experiencing Jesus. Whether it's been for the first time in your life and you know, I have never experienced Jesus. Whether it's for the first time in your life, whether it's the 40th time or whether it's the 100th time, we need to be a people that are quick to repent, okay? That means me and you, when we came into this world, we were going this way. We were going toward hell. We were going this way. And repentance is simply saying, I don't want that anymore. I want to follow Christ. I'm going to change my life. And he's going to change my life. And I'm going to keep falling back to him. Oh, no. I kind of want some of that. No, I need to keep going back to him. We have to be a people that are quick to repent. And what I mean is quick to hit your knees and say, God, I want more of you and less of myself. I want more of you, more of your word, and less of my flesh, and less of my sin. Because when you and I do that, we experience Jesus, and he changes us. This is why I believe this church looks a little bit different than our church. Obviously, times are different, and everything, you know, we can talk about that another day. But they were a people that when they heard the gospel pierced them, and they got on their knees and said, we want to follow this guy. Not, hey, I want to make a decision and then kind of go about my life like it's normal. No, no, no. They said, you know what? I don't want any more of this. A little bit later on in the book of Acts, chapter 19, actually, verse 9, literally a bunch of sorcerers and magicians come together and they meet Jesus for the first time. And you know what they do? Those sorcerers and magicians, they take all their books, all their witchcraft, they throw it and they burn it. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, hey, if your right hand's causing you to sin, cut it off. It's better that you have less one member than your whole body to burn in hell. Those are the words of Jesus. If there is sin in our lives, we have to cut it off to experience Jesus. And in these qualities that we've talked about, a devotion to the word, devotion to each other, unity, actually loving each other. That's why I want to echo that again. John 13, Jesus says, the world is going to know based on how you love. If you and I were to actually love and not talk about it, but really love, what would the world look like? What would your school look like? They would look at you and say, they're different. I want that. I'm telling you the facts. We, once again, Gen Z, I'm with y'all. We are depressed. We are lonely. That is our generation. What we are looking for is found in Jesus. What can only satisfy is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life for you on the cross so that you could give your life to service for him. That's what I love when I enter heaven, he's going to say, Lord willing, hopefully, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, hey, well done, my good and faithful church attender, or hey, I'm glad you made that decision back in seventh grade. You didn't really do anything else, but you come on in, you escaped by the skin of your teeth. He's not going to say that. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are we servants of the King? Because when we experience Jesus, we give our life. We give our full devotion. Are we people that want to experience him? Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I come to you in this moment. I just ask that you work in, you continue to do a work in my heart. Lord, that you would continue to lead me. Lord, that you would continue to convict me and lead me to my knees. Lord, and I also ask that for the students in here, for the parents, for volunteers, that you would continue to lead us to devotion of you in our work, at our home, in our school, on our team. Lord, would we be people that serve you, or that come to experience you? Lord, would you please just work in this time of small groups? Lord, I just pray that, and I beg you, Lord, would you please just do a work? In your name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all are free to go to small groups.